my happy privilege to welcome Brother Barrett to Phoenix and to turn the meeting over to him to consider with us the garden of the Lord.
I am glad the Lord made it possible for me to see you. There's many brethren I haven't seen for many years, and some I haven't seen at all. And you know we're going to work together soon. We got a 1,000-year job. And I do like to get acquainted with you before we start that 1,000-year job. Now, the brethren on that little island, you know, up north, they sent their love. Now, I'm going to give you a test, my testimony tonight. And it's all my mistakes. The 48 years of mistakes, dear friends, I've made all these. And yet I have the assurance that God still loves me. You know, we do get discouraged, don't we? Once in a while, we do things we don't intend to. And I hope my mistakes will be an encouragement to you. You pardon some of the illustrations, but they're true. Our subject tonight, as dear brother said, is the garden of the Lord. I'm glad God is judging our heart gardens, aren't you? Not our flesh. I've seen in my time many brethren, or many people, not come in the truth. Oh, they were 10 times better characters than I am. I used to wonder why God didn't call them instead of me. You know why, don't you, dear friends? That no flesh should glory in His presence. God has this in mind, and the greatest grace of character we can put on is the grace of humility. And this, dear friends, is what I'm going to talk about tonight, our heart gardens. Let's go back to the first garden that was ever made. You all know something about gardens, don't you? And you all know that weeds will grow without planting. You don't have to tend the weeds. They grow spontaneously. I want to go right back to Genesis. It says, "And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And a river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads." We must look at this as a type. No river starts at its course and then divides. It's just the other way around. All the other rivers come into them. But here, God has shown us a wonderful picture. That from Adam comes four distinct classes. He divided into four. We can't spend much time on that. But I wanted to bring you that particular point to your notice. One went north. Now you and I are those who've made a covenant of consecration, and we're traveling north, where the gold of that land is good. Now, God saw many illustrations and pictures a long time ago to encourage you and I in this narrow way. And the head of this class is our Lord Jesus Christ. We're in the school of Christ to learn something. And you know, very often, we learn by our mistakes. Yes. I worked at one time for a farmer in Ontario. And I was getting tired, and I was pitching this heavy hay up. And I'd only half pitch it up. He didn't tell me anything about it. So next time I had to load the hay, and he pitched it up just like I did. I knew what he meant. I was only putting it half on the load. A practical illustration of what I should do. I mentioned the fact that we don't have to plant weeds. They're there already. Satan planted the first one in Mother Eve. And since then, oh boy, there's the weeds in our hearts. You know, when we started, we pulled a lot out. There's still a little sometimes won't come up. I'm going to tell you of the weed that I had. This is 80 years ago. I was a very little fella then. And a neighbor boy came over to play with me. And he had a little Indian tomahawk. Oh, when I saw that, I wanted that, and I grabbed it for him. There was a scuffle, and I hit him over the head with it and knocked him out. Now, I didn't know it was right or wrong. That's a seed of selfishness right there to start with. You know, my parents thought it was a great joke. And I had a brother die not too long ago, and he'd mention it nearly every time he'd see me. You remember hitting the kid over the head with a tomahawk? I should have had a good fashion for that. So I didn't get much of a lesson from that. And these weeds, you know, I've seen sometimes in the garden, Sister Barrett tending something, looking after that beautiful flower. And I'd say, no, that isn't a flower. That's a weed. Oh, no. Well, let it bloom. And all weeds show up when they bloom, and they're not a very good smell either. Weeds of selfishness and pride. We had a dear old brother in our place. He was what we call a practical gardener. And he went to the big Empress Hotel where these horticulturists are. And they gave him a lily. I think they gave it to him for a joke. And he phoned me up. Oh, they'd given him this beautiful lily in a pot. And he nursed that in the dining room. And we all went to see that lily. And then eventually it bloomed. And we had to go and see it when it was in bloom. And there was a funny smell in the room. And the poor old sister, she started scrubbing the floors and the cupboards and everything. And this lily had a wonderful name, horticulturist name. Probably Brother Fowler would know it, but I don't. Well, anyway, she scrubbed everything and disinfected everything, and still the smell persisted. Then they see the door open. A lot of flies come in when they open the door. And they all went to the lily. It feeding on flies. Then it close up and eat them. You know, the proper name for that is the stink lily. It went out. Went out in the garbage right away, the old stink lily. Dear friends, sometimes we are harboring a weed. Well, perhaps I shouldn't say we. I do. Very often we harbor an awful weed. And then we begin to see when it blooms, it's a stink lily. You know, we should search our hearts, shouldn't we? The Lord said if we did cleanse our hearts and minds, he'd come right in. Come and live with us and his Father. Now I'm going to our text. Our text is found in Solomon, Songs of Solomon, the 4th and the 5th chapter. I'll only read parts. A garden enclosed is my sister, my spouse. A spring shut up, a fountain sealed. Thy plants are an orchard of pomegranates with pleasant fruits, camphor with spikenard and saffron, and cinnamon and frankincense and myrrh and aloes with all the chief spices. A fountain of gardens, a well of living waters, how well that coincides with that river from the Garden of Eden. A well of living waters and streams from Lebanon. Awake, O north wind, come thou south and blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruits. And we go back on this to see how beautifully it fits. Remember, dear friends, I'm trying to make the point that your heart and mine is the garden of the Lord. We don't want any weeds there. A garden enclosed. I've seen these gardens in Britain. These great lords and squires in their mansions, they had a garden, and it was enclosed with a high brick wall. And on top of the wall, embedded in cement, was broken bottles, so us boys shouldn't climb over and get any of the fruits. That garden enclosed, and the Lord and his ladies, there was an entrance to this beautiful garden from the palace, and they'd go into their gardens. A garden enclosed. How does that apply to you and I? The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth him. He campeth round about. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister to who? Those that are going north. That river that's going north. Those who shall be heirs of salvation. We do not know, dear friends, but we do believe there's thousands of holy angels looking after your interests, looking after my interests, because we are heirs of salvation. I wish we could all appreciate this a little more. Is salvation. The garden enclosed. You know, dear friends, as well as I do, that if our heart is pure, Satan cannot touch you. He can tempt you, he can't touch you. If our heart is pure, a garden enclosed. Then he says, my sister and my spouse. How could that be? How could our Lord, how could we sister and spouse to our Lord? Well, that's easy. The same father and the same mother, the Sarah covenant. We developed just like our Lord under the Sarah covenant. The same father and the same mother. So we can see how that truly applies. We're a sister to the Lord and his spouse. A garden enclosed. He speaks about the fountain of gardens, a well of living waters and streams from Lebanon. We believe, dear friends, that if we're successful in making this our calling and election sure, these 144,000 wells will come together and feed the world. Wells of living waters. When I made a consecration many years ago, I understood what I was doing. That is, I thought I did. I gave the Lord all my time. And you know, he used wonderful means to show me I was taking some of it back. We had a brother in the class that he would go around telling everybody where they could sacrifice. Well, he did it himself, but he was telling others, now you can do this, you can do that. For this brother and this sister, you know, some of us needed that. I used to resent that. And I took from the altar just a half a day. Only half a day I took off the altar again. That was Saturday afternoon. And I made the boast I didn't do anything for nobody on Saturday afternoon. And this particular Saturday afternoon, I was in my garden. And this brother came up, and at that time, I was the only brother that had a car. Well, if you can call him a car, it was a Ford T model. And he said, "You know, King, I got a privilege for you to sacrifice." There was another brother in straitened circumstances. He was delivering bread for a living. And he had a box affair on wheels, and he sat on it and peddled it. And this whole contraption was broken up. He couldn't get along with it. He broke down. So this other brother come and showed me how I could sacrifice. "Did you get your car running, come and deliver that bread?" Well, I did, but I resented that. I resented somebody telling me what to do. I did it, but the old tin Lizzie ripped up and went and delivered the bread. And there was another little incident happened just about that time to show me that sacrifice wasn't accepted. You know, God, if we do a sacrifice, it should be without force or anything. It should be willing and heartily. There were two little colored boys living near us at the time. They were twins. They was about five. And one was always carrying the other on his back, always carrying them around. They never changed around. One was always carrying the other. So I said to him, "Put him down. He's too heavy for you." He looked at me and said, "He isn't heavy, mister. He's my brother." This other, what I'd done for this other brother was heavy, wasn't it? If I do something for a brother, it shouldn't be heavy. I got a wonderful lesson from that. He's not heavy, mister, because he's my brother. That was 40 years ago. I see in the United States all the orphanages, they take that slogan. I've seen it in pictures. That happened 40 years ago. I think myself, dear friends, it's a good slogan for you and I. If we do anything for a brother and sister, it shouldn't be heavy. Why? Because he's my brother. That little boy taught me a lesson, showed me where I'd failed in doing something by delivering the bread for the other brother. I'd done it grudgingly. It was my brother, and it was heavy. I hope I've learned a great lesson from that. If I do anything for the brethren, it should be willing and not heavy. Do you know some of us need brothers to show us and put us right? I needed it. There's other brethren, they're always looking for opportunities of service. And God showed me that I'd taken a half a day off the altar. Yes. You know God is wonderful, how he works with you and I. And you know why? There's lessons we must learn in the school of Christ if we are to be used of the Lord in this kingdom that's very near. I want to dwell a little piece on the weeds. You know, the scriptures tell us what the weeds are. Anger, malice, hatred, and strife, and all these different things. Then on the other hand, it tells us what we are to cultivate. Meekness, humility, brotherly love. You know, there's none of us need get puffed up if we can give a good talk. You know, God can use anyone. He used Balaam's ass at one time to give a message over. And I think sometimes I put myself in that category. But I hope, dear friends, you get the message. I've had a message from all these my mistakes. Brother Jesuit once gave a talk on the ministry of failures. I don't believe there'll be anybody in that kingdom who says, well, I've done fine. I haven't made a mistake. I haven't stumbled. I haven't done anything. I don't believe there will. These mistakes, dear friends, are necessary for our humility. We are admonished to be clothed with it. Clothed with humility. And there's no grace of Christian character that shines out so beautiful as the grace of humility. We'll liken some of these beautiful flowers, those that we have to cultivate. We like this one, the one of patience. As we look back, we can see all Bible students have been impatient. They thought God had forgotten them and that everything was going wrong and this was wrong and that was wrong. No, dear friends, everything is going grandly on. We need that grace of patience besides humility. This grace of patience, we'll liken it to a beautiful, beautiful blue flower. Oh, so beautiful. And the perfume from this is wonderful. That's what the Lord likes when He comes into our heart garden. That grace of humility. And the center of this beautiful flower is scarlet. It's blue and scarlet. And besides humility, we must cultivate the grace of patience. I'd like to liken this grace of patience to the beautiful flower of white. White. With a golden stamen. You know, these beautiful flowers we all love. There's something wrong with us if we don't love flowers. Have you ever been into these beautiful gardens where the flowers are all at their best? And how restful it is. How restful. It's a peace and rest. Now, dear friends, our hearts are the garden of the Lord. And if we want Him to come in with us and sup with us and meditate, we will cultivate these graces of patience and faith and humility. The Scripture says we should be clothed with humility, not just a little bit of humility. We should be clothed with it. That humility which God loves, because none of us were righteous, no, not one. I have seen brethren, I must liken them to the stink lily. They cultivated selfishness and it became pride. The brethren would pat them on the back or something like that. Oh, that was good. And they'd feed on that like the stink lily fed on the flies. We shouldn't take it that way. If brothers and sisters get a blessing from what we've said, God be praised. But we shouldn't take it to ourselves to think, well, I'm the best. I've done better than anybody. No, dear friends. Be careful of the stink lilies. You know, selfishness is ingrained right within us. And we have to continually pull out the weeds. I notice when someone is coming to our place, you see Sister Barrett out in the garden. I often say, is somebody coming? Yeah, she's going to pull all the weeds out. See, there isn't a weed there before they come. Our Lord wants to come into your hard garden. And it's our duty, isn't it, to search to see where there's any weeds. You know, I often think of Eve when Satan planted the first weed there. It went from one thing to another. And today, right down, it's hereditary, isn't it? Children are born with it, with all these weeds of selfishness. And eventually that turns to pride. And when that lily blooms, it isn't a very nice smell. We have seen brethren with distinct lily characteristics. One brother wasn't voted in at one time. He says, "What do you think the Lord is going to do with his work? His work, if I'm not there, his work is going all to stray." You know, we're not dispensable, none of us. But it is wonderful if God can use us, isn't it? That should bring humility too. Yes. And we should take that as an encouragement, not as a fly to cater to selfishness and pride. Yes, we can take comfort when we know that some brethren has got a lesson from our mistakes, like the ministry of failure. When I used to have apprentices to learn them a trade, I would let them do a thing first, and you go ahead, you do it. And they'd do it, and then I'd show them where they were wrong. That was the best way out. Best way. And God allows us. Don't get discouraged, dear friends, if some of these things come along and you make the mistakes. God is dealing with you. This scripture goes on to say, "Come thou north wind, and come thou south winds, and blow upon my garden." What are the north winds? Cold. Cold winds from the north. We need them. We'll liken those north winds to adversities. You know, David appreciated the north winds. He said, "Before he was afflicted, he went astray." I have worked many years in the building business, and I would build a house and sell it. And not too many years ago, I built two houses and sold them just to make a living. And right after that, a big shopping center came along and bought these two people out at a fabulous price. Oh, it was a high price. Then I had a summer home on the seaside. And when we lost our boy, I didn't want it anymore. We sold it. And just then the government came along and bought that at a fabulous price. I know why. Now, it might have been all right for Brother Ostrander or Brother Fay to be a millionaire, but not me. You know, I thank God that he didn't, that he put something in the way so I didn't make the money. I had at one time just made a fairly good deal. And at that time I met an old friend in town. He wasn't a truth person. And that deal, I'd made $700. Well, that was to me a lot. And it showed in my character, dear friends. And this fellow that was a good reader of character, he said, "Mr. Barrett, I can tell you're prosperous. You've been making money." Oh, my. It showed in my character. What would it have been if I'd have made $40,000? God, this proves to me, dear friends, that it's God that pours the cup for each one. That wouldn't have hurt you to make 30 or 40,000, but it would me. I saw through that, and I thank God for it. Yes, I thank God. He kept me from that. Yes, I often think this man, he sure was a good reader of character. But just making a little money like that, profit on selling a second-hand house, showed up in my character. Yes, oh, God is wonderful. All these little things we must look to, showing that it's God that pours the cup. Have you seen the pharmacist making up medicines? You have it up before a light, and as he puts the dopes in, the hole that they had put just the right amount in. He has to be very careful. God is pouring the cup for you. He's pouring the cup for me. He knows your disposition, and he knows mine. Shouldn't we trust more and more to a God that will go to that extent to train these heirs of the kingdom to be used of him in the kingdom? Yes, dear friends, we should. We need the north winds of adversity. I didn't have any children of my own. I can tell why now. I love children. But we had a little nephew from when he was 3 years old until he was eight. And that was the greatest shock to my life when his mother came and took him. Oh, the bottom went out of everything. But as I look back, I can see I was putting him before the Lord. I was working for that boy, everything for that boy, instead of the Lord. And now today I thank God for it. He's a good boy. And he writes to us yet, calls his mother and dad. He doesn't forget. But I admire brethren who make a consecration and give their children to the Lord. I don't believe I could have done, dear friends. God knew that. That's how I like to look at it. God pours the cup. It's different for you. What it would be perhaps for me. Oh, we can be assured that God knows us all, right down, right through. The south winds. You know, if we had all north winds, we couldn't grow the flowers. It was all north winds. We have to have the south winds. As you look back on your consecrated life, can't you see the north winds and then the south winds? And they blow upon your garden. Why? That the beautiful spices may come out, that beautiful perfume that may come out. I think I know why I've been so long in the school of Christ. I've been so slow to develop these fruits and graces of the Spirit. I have seen it in many of the older brethren, see them get mellow at the end, very mellow. There was one dear old sister, she took sick, and she sent for me and said, "Now, Brother Barrett, you take my funeral. You were sing this hymn and that, and I'll be gone by next Sunday." So I went next Sunday. She wasn't gone. She gave me some more instructions, and I went the next Sunday, and I went for a year. Still impatient. One Sunday I went. She says, "Now, Brother Barrett, I don't know when I'm going. I'm leaving it all to the Lord now." At last she'd learned a wonderful lesson, leaving it all to the Lord. And she went within a week. Yes, dear friends, we can learn lessons from life's experiences. That is what they're for. This boy of mine, he won a government bursary, I think you call it that, and he went to the, he's in the Gainesville University at Florida. He's going in to be a professor. He's got his B.A., you know, he has to get an M.A., and he wrote us at Christmas. And he showed us pictures. He's scraping all the creeks and the river bottoms in Florida to look for bugs. And he said, we're trying to find the source of life. Well, some scientists, dear friends, looking for the source of life. I said, well, we've got it right here. And God breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. And all these wise guys spending millions to find the source of life, getting all the bugs and the pollywogs there is to see where life comes from. How senseless. Oh, how senseless. A wasted life. The science that you and I are being taught will never be old. It'll go on through eternity. The principles of truth and righteousness will stay throughout all eternity. Shouldn't we apply our hearts unto instruction and wisdom? Recognizing that soon we'll have to graduate. Yes, and there's another comforting thought too. It's the heart that God is looking at. Do you know we can judge the heart? We can judge our own heart? When something comes up, you judge. What was my motive in doing that? What was the motive behind it? And very often, it'll be selfishness. Pull out the weeds with selfishness. Yes, God is wonderful, merciful, isn't he? He knew you and I could not walk perfectly. And he's not judging you and I according to the flesh. But the heart and our intentions, we can judge that, dear friends. And that should, and I believe it is perfect, although we make many, many mistakes. We were speaking of the south winds. If it was all north winds, as we said, the flowers wouldn't grow. We have to have these seasons of refreshments. The beautiful south winds. I like to liken those south winds to the studies we have when we come together. And all the brethren partake in the study. We try to do that in our study, to make everyone have a part in it. We try to impress that upon them, to all have a part in this study. And sometimes we don't get very far, but there's one principle of truth that we clarify and make it our own. The time is not wasted. The in Exodus 35 and the 22nd to the 24th verse speaks of the holy anointing oil. And most of that was produced for the holy anointing oil were from flowers. Most of it, not all of it. And it's these same plants that's spoken of in the Songs of Solomon that produces the Holy Spirit. I'll read it in the Songs of Solomon. Pomegranates. Of course, that doesn't go to make up the holy anointing oil, but the pomegranate is a combination, as we know, of all the beautiful fruits in one. Spikenard, camphor, cinnamon, frankincense, myrrh, and aloes. Now let me read it in Exodus. Take thou also unto thee principal spices of myrrh, 500 shekels of sweet cinnamon, half so much, even 250 shekels. And the sweet calamus, 250 shekels. The acacia, 500 shekels, after the shekel of the sanctuary. When God placed all these in the Bible, he had in mind the wonderful tabernacle and the anointing of the high priest, that wonderful holy anointing oil that came on the head of the high priest and ran down the skirts of his garments to the feet. And we can see in the brethren this anointing of the Holy Spirit. We see it in our studies with the brethren. We see it if we have this patience with this brother and that sister. You know, in every class, we are not all of the same mental capacity. And we have to be very gentle with them all, and so that they all take a part, so they do not feel left out of it. Yes, God has placed the members in the body as it has pleased him. And that, I believe, dear friends, applies to this side of the veil too. Yes, we all, if anyone at all loves the truth and is called, we believe he's called, or we'd be very careful not to put any stumbling block in their way. When I look back on my life, as soon as I came in the truth, there was brother and said, "Oh, you're too late. You're too late, Barrett. You're too late. You'll be with the ancient worthies." Dear friends, if God has authorized the hope in you, no brother or sister can take it away. Those oppositions that I got, I went down right close to the Word of God. Forgive me. I thought it... Right down to the Word of God. And I made these promises my own. So opposition must come, but we should dig down deeper and make these wonderful promises our own. Now I hope, dear friends, you will get a lesson from my mistakes. And don't forget, God is judging the heart, our heart's intentions, how beautiful that is. And if we are faithful, we are going to be with our Lord, that wonderful river that's going to flow from the throne and lift the world of mankind up, that wonderful highway of holiness. What a wonderful scholarship we have. Yes, dear friends, we have a scholarship. The greatest of them all, to be kings and priests. All these other sciences, science will be all as naught. But the science of the Bible is correct, and it stands firm forever. Now, dear friends, may the Lord bless you. Holy Father in heaven, in Jesus' precious name, we do raise our hearts to thee in gratitude that thou can take our best intentions and our hearts for the deed. Pray, Holy Father, that we might appreciate a little more this wonderful call and thy care over those who will be heirs of salvation.
forgive, dear Father, anything said amiss and know the rule for good. Bless each dear heart now bowed in thy presence. And may we all prove faithful to hear thy sweet well done. In Jesus' name, amen.